Blog Talk Radio.
Thomas, your host today of the Philosophy Show. This is our 109th episode today, and it is October the 22nd, 12:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, 9:30 p.m. Pacific on Wednesday night, Thursday morning, wherever you're at. That's the show time every Wednesday night, Thursday morning. 9:30 p.m. Pacific, 12:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. That's when it is. If you'd like to catch the show live, or you can visit, blogtalkradio.com/philosophy, because this is called the Philosophy Show. And you get your weekly dose of news, reviews, advice, conspiracies, quotes, brainstorms, different topics. Like today's show is called NARC or Whistleblower. You can call in, though, and talk about whatever you like. And so we have a half an hour show today. It's all ages, open to the public. And I'm going to talk about philosophy here. Now, you know, NARC, if you're not sure what a NARC is, N as in nice, A-R-K, or whistleblower, and if you're not sure what a whistleblower is, I guess what we kind of are doing is defining the terms here, actually, on this show, but, I mean, that Merriam-Webster's.com online says NARC is a stool pigeon, as an example, and if you look up the word stool pigeon, it means a person acting as a decoy or informer, a spy sent into a group to report as to the police on its activities. And a whistleblower, is someone that blows a whistle on a big organization like the government or a big corporation. Let's see. In fact, there are laws that are supposed to help protect whistleblowers. Let's see if there's a definition of whistleblower in Merriam-Webster's dictionary. On Google, the first thing that comes up is a person who informs on a person or organization engaged in illicit activity. So it's like a whistleblower versus a stool pigeon. Let's see here. Do you think Edward Snowden, is he a whistleblower or a, in that case, some would call him a traitor or a whistleblower. One person's trash is another person's treasure, or vice versa. What do you think about someone who notices someone who runs a red light, and then they follow them and take a picture of their driver's license plates and informs the state. Now, Yeah, I guess it would just depend. It would depend on how zealous someone was doing that. So, I mean, if someone like hit and ran, yeah, probably that would be considered a whistleblower. Or, but if someone was, maybe let's say barely running the light and there's no traffic around or whatever, then, maybe they would be considered a narc or someone who has nothing better to do in that situation. Maybe. I don't know. I'm asking you. What about someone who, well, this was recent in the news a couple years ago, actually. I saw on the newspaper locally, where some real estate person was peeking over the fence of someone else's yard because they thought they smelled, some kind of drug. And when they peeked over the fence, they saw some plants over their privacy fence, I guess. And then they called the cops, and then later that house was raided, and then they find out these were like old people that were basically doing this because they had like a life-threatening disease and they couldn't get any other kind of relief that was what they found tolerable. And now they're forced to get it from the streets or whatever. They actually did have it go to court case, and I think the judge eventually did just kind of throw it out or something, but they did have to suffer the point of getting their house raided and go through all of that in a court case and have a lot of stress while at the point of their time they weren't in the best of condition in the first place. And they weren't hurting anyone else. I mean, no one said anything ever and until this person decided to peep over their fence. And actually, that's what the official story is. So one scenario is, and one question to ask is, if someone does call in someone to report them for whatever, I mean, some cases might legitimately be bad things, and some things might be really bad things, but not true. Should the narc or the whistleblower face any consequences if what they've presented is untrue? I mean, and if they're presenting evidence, are they allowed to look over someone's fence or something like that? Or is that non-admissible? So do they have the rights? I mean, so if someone is narking on someone, I mean, there's also the IRS hotline. You can call if you know something, I guess, about your business or something, or someone that hasn't been paying their taxes. There's a, I don't know, do they call the whistleblower hotline? What about, well, what about a police officer in an organization that tells on his fellow police officers that they violated some law? Is he considered a whistleblower or a narc? Or someone else, like we mentioned earlier, Edward Snowden, or other people that have come out against either like the tobacco industry or, other organizations where there's found to be abuse and torture and violating, the rules of war and all those kind of things, and police violence and government misconduct, corporate espionage, lots of different things. What about if someone has an ordinance where if they parked a boat on the side of their house and it goes 1 foot past the house line, someone calls the states so the code can enforce that? Is that a whistleblower or a narc? Or someone calls in and said someone's abusing their kids and they're not, just to get revenge on them or something, or they don't like those people, or they want them out of their neighborhood. I mean, it probably didn't happen often, but it could. There's nothing preventing that. Is there any consequences for that whistleblower? You know, you should have a right to know your accusers. That's one of the main things in the Constitution. You know, if you're strong enough to call someone about that, you should be strong enough to defend yourself. Now, there are whistleblower protection things for government employees where they don't get, you know, retaliation. And supposedly there's been some news lately where those efforts or those procedures of trying to protect the whistleblower to allow someone to come forward without being in fear of retaliation, either from their job or personally, you know, that they should have protections against retaliation. So you have to take that into consideration, although government is different because that's supposed to be all public anyways and transparent, and we're the ones who are paying for that. You know, it's a public institution. Otherwise, why else would we give our money voluntarily, supposedly, to this, you know, collective? It's the only one we do. You know, we give more in money than we do to God. I mean, government is God almost, you know, our collective process, or it acts like it in a lot of ways. But it can be good. Also, it can protect us from big corporations if used properly. It's like a tool. It can be used for good or bad, like a gun. God, guns, and governments, or girls, or glory, or butter. I don't know. So, you know, we've gone through some scenarios, I mean, and some abuses and some legitimate things. I mean, you have to know your rights. I mean, you do have a right to know what you're being accused. You can't be, like, in a court trial where you don't know what you're being accused of. They can't just say, all right, we're charging you, but we're not going to tell you what we're charging you for, because how could you defend yourself? And, like, recently there's someone that was in a police station and spoke out. Or actually, no. Recently, there was a congressperson who decided to say they wanted to investigate the Secret Service. And they found that they were looked up in some kind of national database by 45 Secret Service people or something like that within, like, the next week. I mean, as soon as they announced, like, hey, I would like to do a congressional investigation on the Secret Service, et cetera, et cetera, you know, an audit maybe or an investigation, because, you know, you have to have who's going to watch the watchers, right? So you have to have, you know, different public boards, our elected officials. There's no power that should come from government that we do not give through elections or grants. Through elections that shouldn't have to have our independent external review, our public review. We're paying for all of this, and there's not one thing in government that we don't own. And we're the bosses, and sometimes we have to review and analyze, like, are they doing a good job? Well, you know, and so they do audits and investigations on lots of different groups, and just to make sure everything's working right, if there's abuses, et cetera, just kind of. Yeah, and so if you're a government employee, you have to kind of expect that to occur once in a while. And, you know, as a public servant but after he did this, he found, like, a lot of people looking up his investigation, his information, his personal information, like his files, you know, like his secret files. And it's almost threatening in a sense, you know, to know you're on some kind of list or database or FBI file or whatever, you know. through the Freedom of Information Act, you can look yours up. I mean, I don't know if it's like a credit report or something, but you can look it up and probably some of it will be blacked out. Welcome to, you know, life on Earth in the 21st century. Because if you were choosing a planet to pick on, now we just have to know it's a close line to draw between a whistleblower and, I guess, what you'd consider a narc, and whether that's a good word to call someone or not. I mean, because I saw an ad locally about, you know, a code enforcer of a county, and they showed a picture of the person. They look like they're all like gung-ho, ready to see who's parking wrong or, you know, just catch people on little violations in their own home. Honestly, if someone's not putting a threat towards anyone else in their home, I mean, what if someone was building a home that was like a tank and it had like little gun barrels shooting out and it was like a castle and they built like a moat? I mean, would they be allowed to do that? Is everything under code? You have to have these cookie cutter things. I don't think, and then now they say, number one, it's for the looks to protect the property value. Is that the priority, is property values? Or is a priority life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness? Because you can't have both at the same time. And even if people try to build nice-looking things, which most of the time most people would, they still won't a lot of times allow them to do it. I mean, there's been plenty of nice-looking, like, Frank Lloyd Wright homes and Hobbit homes and things like that where they've been told they had to take it down. Or the second reason is if they try to sell it later, someone who buys it, they can do their own inspection and they can negotiate the price based on what they find out. It should be up to them at that time, and that's the way they would do it. And so no bank's going to give a loan unless it has all that stuff. So it's unnecessary to do these redundant things. It's a cost. It's a tax, not only on your property, your life, your time, which is money. It's also on your spirits, your ambition, and your energy. And it's like a psychic vampire, but it's for real. And it has the authority to actually do something. It's not something you can just walk away from. I mean, I think, you know, laws that protect people in general against others are fine. But so, you know, we basically do unto others as we would want done unto ourselves. So there aren't people crossing that line into other people's space, basically. Whether it's privacy, their home, their computer, they can't cross into that person's space to threaten them physically or to, you know, go in their natural space. And anything beyond that is going into your space. Then the law defeats the purpose of not going into other people's spaces, because once it goes in your private space, telling you, no, you have to have this square house that is, can be whatever color you want, unless you live in some deed-restricted place. And, you know, it's got to be square upon square with some triangles on top. Sometimes a dome is fine. But if you want anything else, you're going to have to build out, like, in the desert somewhere. Or, you know, in Hawaii, they have a thing, actually, where if your house is under a certain square footage, you don't have to put in any permit at all. And so, yeah, I mean, now the person who writes the permits is probably like, you know, well, you're threatening my job right now. You need permits. You know, how many lives would be saved if you didn't have them? And if I didn't walk around and tax you, you know, this is what the people voted for. It's what they want. And, you know, we should just eliminate that whole office. That person doesn't have any sense of, like, I'm ruining lots of people's lives. The market already takes care of this situation. I'm preventing people from, you know, fully artistically expressing themselves and living their life to its full potential. I'm just getting in the way and taxing them, and I have the authority to make someone's life hell if I wanted to. And sometimes, you know, I flex it a little bit just to make sure, you know, check who I'm still alive or something, because I have this power. And we all know power corrupts, especially power over others. I mean, it is acting like government acts like a god. You know, I'm not anti-government. To me, there's good and bad government. The good ones are the things that people pay directly for that service. Like, you pay for the electric or the water. Bam, you get that. Nothing in the middle, really, about taxing or stuff like that. You get a bill, and then so that'd be on a local level. And then the national level, like Social Security and Medicare. You know, and I think Medicare should just be like Medicaid all in one. But those are the good things. Those are the things you pay for. The agents that work for those two departments don't typically, I don't think, carry guns. They don't look like they're, you know, like stormtroopers. And there have been plenty of studies that show, like, how you dress is how you're going to act. If you're going to dress threateningly, if you're going to dress like a stormtrooper, you're going to act like one. They've done real, factual, empirical, there's evidence, of football teams. The fiercer the uniform, the more aggressive the people played. That's like why, you know, if you look at the old Tampa Bay Buccaneer uniforms, that's why they had like 1-13 records or whatever until they got like those pewter, you know, more or less sissified looking uniforms. I mean, they look like before, like Peter Pan with like a little feather on their ear, and they're playing football against like the steel curtain or something, and they're just being smothered, and they even look like, you know, if you look at their team, and they're a bunch of skinny, you know, twig players, and they're just no way threatening, or, I mean, they could make it threatening, but it's just a real-life example. I mean, they have done real studies on this. You put in the uniform. I mean, just look at the Stanford experiments and lots of other things. I mean, so how they dress is how they're going to act. I mean, you're not going to dress them up like, you know, a ballerina, and they're not going to, you know, act like thugs. And maybe that's what we should, maybe that's what they should have to do. I mean, and as long as they do their job correctly. But, I mean, psychology does play an important part to this, and we all know it does. We all know there's propaganda and mind games that, you know, and we all have our self-checks. So, all right. So, all right. Recently there's a test about those football uniforms, about the more aggressive looking the uniforms, the more aggressive the people would play. And so if they had like silly little uniforms or whatever, you know, it did reflect with how they played. And again, that's, so that's more recent, if you want to look that up. But, all right, well, I think we're going to about end this. We have about 5 more minutes. If you want to call in, tell us your thoughts. If you do have a show suggestion or just want to get some advice or talk about whatever, give us a call on Wednesday night, and it can be live. If you have thoughts that you want to share out there, and or if you want to spend the time to explore an idea, to break it down, to analyze it, to come to, you know, possibly at least some temporary conclusions or something like that, Ooh.
Oh, man. I just see that I spilt water over something, and I didn't know it. Now I have a pile of soapy stuff. It sucks. Anyways, that's the end of this show, and so have a good day. We'll talk to you later. Narc or whistleblower, you know, I guess one person's narc is another person's whistleblower. Another person's trash is another person's treasure. Doesn't, or maybe there's an objective way of looking at it. I mean, where does the line cross? And should some people be ashamed of one or the other and not? I mean, it's, you know, we're not all going to agree on that. And so the things that we can't agree on, maybe, I don't know, we shouldn't enforce, or we should have ways out of it, or different things. There are things we can agree on, I think, for sure. There's not many, but, well, there's enough. I mean, we all agree that we should live in a society that has freedom of speech and that has certain protections, like knowing the accused and what you're being accused of, having equal, you know, all of that. Just look at the Constitution and the Bill of Rights, you know, and there's about 20 things on there, and or 25 or something. Those are all the things that we can pretty much agree on. Everything else, I don't think we can. Or if we could, we'll pass it as amendments. And so if you believe something wholeheartedly, but you know there's other people that don't, maybe you should look at the stats on it, because and maybe you're right, but then again, maybe you're not. And try to understand, how could someone else feel that passionately the other way? Are they uninformed, or maybe are you uninformed? I don't know, but that's why we have this show called The Philosophy Show. And so, well, peace be unto you, and we'll see you next week. All right. Thanks for listening to The Philosophy Show. You can check out my YouTube at youtube.com/blastoffreshair. And also, I hope you really think about some, well, words, you know, definitions, and how they apply, and you know, your elected representatives. You know, see if in your local district, is there an independent running for Congress, or someone of a third party, and do they seem like they're a decent person that would be better than a Republican or Democrat? Anyways, have a great day. We'll talk to you later. Next week.
Clouds, they were rolling through the sky, and they brought down all the rain. And there was a puddle that became a pond as it gathered up so much rain. Little seed close by grew into a tree as it soaked up so much rain.